It's Friday, October 20th, 2006. For PodTech News, this is Clark Boyd in Boston. On today's podcast, light-emitting diodes, or LEDs. They've been called the lighting source of the future. LEDs are small semiconductor devices that can emit light. They're more efficient and potentially cheaper and more reliable than our old light bulbs. And they're already in use in flashlights, traffic signals, and even your brake lights. But in the remote mountains of Mexico, they're getting a real beta test. The Huichol Indians are weaving LEDs into their clothing and shoulder bags. In a place where electricity is non-existent and other lighting options are hazardous or expensive, it can make a huge difference.
Being able to have some light indoors means that you're not breathing in kerosene smoke, you're not exposed to fire or burn hazards, and you actually can have the light and the space and the time to make an evening meal, which can make a big difference to the overall health of the family.
That's Sheila Kennedy. She's a Boston-based architect, educator, and inventor. In the year 2000, Sheila established MATX, a materials research unit working in the fields of electronics, architecture, manufacturing, and material design. She founded MATX to figure out how to integrate things like LEDs into architecture. Along the way, she discovered the Huichol Indians in Mexico and decided to work with them on prototyping textiles that incorporate their own light sources. It's called the Portable Light Project, and I wanted to find out more about it. So I met with Sheila in her warehouse-style office in downtown Boston. She started by telling me a little bit more about LEDs.
LEDs are a form of semiconductor that uses a very minimal amount of energy to produce light. And this is a solid-state material, so it's important to remember that there are no bulbs, no filaments in solid-state technology. We're actually talking about the property of a particular semiconductor, its natural property, to produce light.
And then where did you sort of start to get the idea of maybe these sort of things could be woven into textiles and efforts like that?
One of the really remarkable things about semiconductors is their efficiency. And this means that, of course, they use just a little tiny bit of electricity to produce their light, so they're efficient in the traditional sense. But a byproduct of that efficiency, which we think is very interesting, is that the light that comes from an LED is very cool because it is so efficient. The light that's put out is almost 95% pure light with very little heat byproduct. So this makes it entirely different than, say, an incandescent bulb, which is warm to the touch. And so the coolness and the miniaturization of semiconductors lend themselves to integration in new materials. So we've been involved in numerous developments where we've integrated semiconductors into plywood, into glass, concrete. So it was very appealing for us to think about textiles themselves as a means of producing light, as a means of integrating light. Imagine all of the properties that you're familiar with a textile, that you can touch it, you can hold it, it has a certain tactile quality, and then imagine that as being the kind of very material that could produce light or could produce energy. And as an idea, this was very appealing to us.
So how did the Huichol come into the picture here? I mean, what's the timeline? When did you decide to try this out with some of their textiles?
When I was traveling in 2003 in Mexico, I was traveling actually in one of the eastern mountain ranges called the Sierra de Catorce. And there, almost by accident, I ran into a group of Huichol who were cooking in the street. They're a semi-nomadic indigenous group of people, and they travel hundreds of miles a year. So I saw these people, and just almost in a flash, I realized that their needs were perfectly suited to the potentials that we saw with textile technology and textile integrated technologies. They are really an extremely resilient culture. They are very needy and poor. And the areas where they live and where they travel are so remote that there is really no viable means of getting electricity there. And so we thought that the kind of combination of elements made the Huichol a very good pilot group for the Portable Light Project.
Now, do they use kerosene for light or materials like that?
For lighting now, they use primarily fire. Campfires, candles, kerosene lanterns, and also battery-powered flashlights.
But batteries are expensive, and kerosene lamps and campfires are dangerous. So Sheila started thinking about ways to get LEDs to the Weechall, who are expert weavers. She worked with community leaders, anthropologists, the local Weechall Center, and engineering and design teams in both Boston and at the University of Michigan. The end results were the first prototype garments and traditional handbags containing LEDs. Sheila showed me one of the bags.
We're looking at a Huichol bag, and it's a kind of a very striking visual juxtaposition of blue and white tasseled traditional backstrap loom weaving. And then on the other hand, the most advanced semiconductor technology and very bright light, 80 lumens of semiconductor light, which is almost blinding when you look at it. And this is woven into a corded element which has the typical colors. This particular bag was woven by a very seasoned weaver by the name of Senora Estela Hernandez. And this particular piece really confirmed our belief that this technology could be adaptable into the everyday things that people carry with them, and particularly women who are very often the heads of households.
So the idea would be that a Weechall woman could carry this bag around all day. It would be soaking up solar power all day long, and then that would power the light that they could use at night.
That's exactly right. Also, the idea is that women could be involved in producing, weaving, and integrating their own designs for this technology. And they would then be able to produce and own their light.
If a person were to carry that around all day soaking up solar energy, how long could the light run for?
Yeah, we've been working, this has been one of the key issues that we've been refining, actually, in the pilot project. There are two flexible solar panels, and each panel is about maybe 5 inches by 11 inches. So overall, this can easily fit on a typical Weechall bag. There are certain limitations to the size of what can be woven readily on a backstrap loom. And what we've done is we've taken some off-the-shelf technology items that currently exist in large markets so that they're relatively affordable. Cell phone battery, for example, semiconductors from the white traffic pedestrian walk signal. We have a reflective material that's been donated by a manufacturer of freezer components, a woven aluminum material. So we've kind of created a number of different adjacency applications for digital components that already are on the market. And what our team has done is we've created some very smart digital electronics that allow us to optimize the behavior of all of these different digital components so that with 3 hours of full sun, you can get a charge that can be used for about 12 hours.
A little light like that, when you're in a Weechall structure, it's very dark. Can you give listeners a sense of how much light that provides?
It's very difficult for people in places like Boston or anywhere in the United States to really imagine a place that has no light. But in the Sierra at night, when there's not a full moon, it's absolutely dark. And furthermore, in the ranchos, in the farms, the small houses that Weechalls live in have very few windows, so it is incredibly dark. I mean, in some ways, the semiconductor is so small, and we talk about 80 lumens of light, and then you say, well, an incandescent light bulb might be 600 or 800 lumens of light. What good is 80 lumens of light? Just one of these lights produces a halo of light that is a good 4 feet of light all around. It was plenty of light to do a small task by, to do weaving or beading, which is the type of traditional craft that many Weechall are trying to produce for sale. You can certainly read by it. You could perform small medical tasks by it and so forth. Being able to have some light indoors means that you're not breathing in kerosene smoke, you're not exposed to fire or burn hazards, and you actually can have the light and the space and the time to make an evening meal, which can make a big difference to the overall health of the family.
From your experience working with the Huichol, what do you see as more broadly the advantages of LED technology for development in general?
I think that the notion of a series of objects and surfaces, be they textile or other materials, that have the capability of functioning off the grid and may have the capability of functioning with the grid represents an entirely new distributed energy paradigm, and a very interesting one, not only for the developing world, but for the so-called first world as well. Because for the first time, with the efficiency of some of the photovoltaics, and with the emergence of LEDs as a solid-state light source, you have the possibility of really carrying light with you, of having an upholstery, for example, in your car that might be luminous, of having curtains, let's say, or textile elements in your house that would contribute to produce some energy that would lower the overall energy load of the house. So these things might seem fanciful or very futuristic in some ways, but work that's being done by a number of different people and work that we're doing on our team with the Portable Light Project is showing that small-scale sources of power and light, we have a battery that's 3.7 volts, that we can no longer really afford to discount these small sources of light. But instead, we need to accept them as a threshold and think about how to organize those small sources together in intelligent and cooperative ways.
Sheila Kennedy says the Portable Light Project is still in its earliest stages. Some of the LED materials are so new, she says, that it's hard to even come up with a cost for producing each garment or bag. But she says if the project scales, she's confident that the price can come down to a level affordable to the Huichol and others throughout the developing world. You can find more information on the project by visiting portablelight.org. And that's all for this PodTech podcast. In Boston, this is Clark Boyd reminding you to visit podtech.net for all the latest technology news.